You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane, and for Hanat Baba. When Donald Trump is inaugurated as President of the United States on January 20th, part of his 100-day action plan is to block federal funding to sanctuary cities. San Francisco received about $1 billion in federal funds last year. Berkeley, Oakland, and San Jose also stand to lose funding. San Francisco supervisors defiantly passed a resolution last month stating, quote, "No matter the threats made by President-elect Trump, San Francisco will remain a sanctuary city." Aaron Peskin is supervisor for District 3, a district which includes one of the largest foreign-born populations in the city. He's the chair of the Government Audit and Oversight Committee. KALW's Hanat Baba spoke with him about what possible federal budget cuts could mean for San Francisco.
So what does it mean, first, that San Francisco is a sanctuary city?
It is not a uniquely San Francisco idea. It dates back to the 1980s. Refugees were streaming north to the United States, and if returned, faced uncertain, if not deadly, futures. But what it really means is that generally, these jurisdictions don't use municipal funds to enforce national immigration laws. And usually, these jurisdictions forbid police or municipal employees to inquire about a person's immigration status. That simply is what the notion of sanctuary city is about.
Donald Trump has pledged not only to immediately deport millions of immigrants once he takes office in January, he's also said he will strip sanctuary cities and counties of all federal funding. How seriously is San Francisco taking that threat?
Oh, we're taking it very seriously. And it's obvious everything is very uncertain at this point. First of all, Mr. Trump has already backed away from many of the inflammatory, outrageous promises he made during the campaign. And only time will tell, but we should prepare ourselves. In San Francisco, that could mean as much as $1 billion, about a tenth of our enormous, almost $10 billion budget. Currently, we receive about $478 million in the current year budget from the United States of America. And we also receive close to $1 billion, about $915 million from the state, much of which is federal money. So if you add it all together, we're somewhere in the $1 billion range. If you look at the past Republican Congresses, there have been various measures, none of which have seen the light of day, that would have stripped cities like San Francisco up to $20 million, which, while that would be an unfortunate impact, is something that we could absorb. If we had catastrophic budget cuts of $1 billion, we would have to adjust to that. I mean, this is obviously we don't want to suffer federal budget cuts, but I think that the government is united, all of the members of the board, the mayor of San Francisco, in sticking up for one of San Francisco's fundamental San Francisco values, which is sanctuary city, in the same way that if they were to cut funding to cities that supported same-sex marriage, which of course is now the law of the land, we would stand up for those San Francisco values.
So let me just read some of the programs in San Francisco that are at risk. Just to understand where this money goes, Department of Public Health gets about $68 million directly from the federal government. The police department gets $2.8 million from the federal government. Public Works, $22 million. SFO, the airport, $30 million. The fire department, $1.9 million. Homeless housing and shelter, $38.5 million.
And many other departments get money as well. The San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency gets millions of dollars of federal money. The District Attorney's Office gets some almost $3 million of federal money. So yeah, these cuts would ripple through virtually every department in city government.
So what are some of the responses then that San Francisco has? Like City Attorney Dennis Herrera is looking into maybe suing the federal government. There's talk about possibly turning California into a sanctuary state, the whole state. What are you talking about?
So all of these things are uncertain and will roll out in the months ahead. Obviously, we can avail ourselves of the judicial process. This is going to be many years in the making. None of this is going to happen overnight. This is going to require congressional action. And San Francisco knows how to fight. We've got a great municipal attorney's office, and we have a very good district court. Federal District Court, the Ninth Circuit remains a liberal bastion that represents the five Western states in the United States judicial system.
You're sounding very hopeful.
So, look, we have to stay the course. We are not going to give up our tough, fought-for values that make San Francisco the envy of the liberal world, and we're not going to negotiate with terrorists. We're going to stick to our principles, and we're going to have to make tough decisions, and those decisions are going to have real impacts on real people, and we're all going to be in it together.
Mm. So if we frame this in a larger context of how the San Francisco budget is looking going into 2017, how are the books doing?
San Francisco voters have really been willing to fund the causes that make San Francisco so special. Mm-hmm. There was an exception to that on this ballot. One proposition, Proposition K, which was a regressive presumptuous.
You're the only supervisor who came out against it.
Well, no, actually, there were three supervisors who voted against putting it on the ballot. Myself, Supervisor Kim, and Supervisor Yi voted against putting it on the ballot. The mayor's office actually chose to balance our budget on a tax that was not going to be brought to the voters until many months later in November. And the voters profoundly rejected that regressive tax. That tax would have raised the local sales tax by 0.75%, a 0.75% increase to our sales tax. And it's a regressive tax. I was the only member of the board who voted against the budget on the theory that it was being balanced by a tax the voters had not yet voted on. And indeed, they rejected it. And there are a number of alternatives that are out there, including the vehicle license fee. You may recall that Governor Schwarzenegger actually catapulted into office by getting rid of our decades-old vehicle license fee. And San Francisco has the ability, through a vote of our people, to bring that back. Mm-hmm. And those funds could be spent not only on transportation, but on human services as well. I have a lot of confidence in the San Francisco community and in the voters of San Francisco. And I think that the voters of San Francisco want to protect what makes San Francisco so special and unique and the envy of the world.
And but they also want public works and they also want a good airport. And they also, you know, the fire department, homeless housing. This is core to life.
Absolutely. And let me say, look, As somebody who served on the board when we had a $6 billion budget and now serves on the board when we have a $10 billion budget that provided many, many services with a 27,000 person workforce that's now grown to almost 31,000, I think that we can actually tighten our belt and do more with less if we have to. We are at our best when we are under pressure. And I think that San Francisco employees and San Francisco citizens will rise to the occasion if these draconian cuts come down. It has really brought many of us together. I mean, the board and the mayor stood together 2 weeks ago, unified in our commitment to not back down and not be bullied by the new president-elect. And I think that will continue. And I think it's going to make us stronger together.
Finally, what are you most concerned about under the new administration?
I actually think it is much larger than the office of the president. I'm actually as or more concerned about a Tea Party Congress that will slowly, over the next number of years, erode some of the most profoundly important welfare state laws, whether it's Medicaid, whether it is Social Security, whether it's the Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare. And that is my biggest profound fear.